Take a deep breath, because this one is going to shake your unbelief. And we're going to go to verse 10 before we go anywhere else, because that's the one that I want you to go into and recognize it and realize it and accept it. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to do that. I'm just going to tell you that's the facts. It's his word that's at stake, not mine. And you are in him, made full, the Amplified, and have come to fullness of life in Christ. Are you ready? Take a deep breath. You too are filled with the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority, of every angelic principality and power. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but in a spiritual circumcision performed by the anointing, by stripping off the body of flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lusts. Thus you were circumcised when you were buried with him in your baptism, in which you were also raised with him to a new life, through your faith in the working of God, as displayed when he raised him up from the dead. I go back in my corner.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you got out of that corner too fast.
As I was pondering this word today and seeing how much unbelief is still in me, because this is not a new message for me. It goes back to 1985. And I'm still having an argument in my soul because I see the fruits that are not of him still trying to push through where there should be fruit of the Spirit, and yet there's still some negative ones that I see coming up like rotten potatoes. And they smell. I do smell them once in a while. Okay? What am I saying to you? You're going to have an awareness of the truth, but the darkness will insist that you agree with it. Through your soul and through your mind, will, and emotions. So that walk of faith, you know, it's wonderful when you experience faith and you taste of its fruit immediately. It's awesome when you see it. And when I was first born in the Spirit, I was really on a merry-go-round of enjoying a honeymoon that was beyond understanding. And I had so many people trying to pull me out of it, telling me that I was crazy. The honeymoon didn't last a couple of months. It lasted years. But then the testing came, because God says he's going to test everything to see if it's valuable. And we talked about that on Sunday. He tested his firstborn son as soon as he heard, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Then the darkness came and said, if you are the son, why aren't you producing the same kind of fruit? Got it? If you are. And what did he say?
It is written.
Correct. That's the trigger. I had a few words for a young lady tonight, but the Lord said to go get the double-edged sword. To give it weight. Sometimes we need something tangible before we can accept it as something spiritual.
Amen.
Sometimes just a simple act that can change your way of thinking, that's done by somebody under the anointing of the Lord, and you actually say, "Oh my God, why couldn't I catch it before?" The scripture says that in Romans 1, strong delusion comes into those that are into their soul, mind, will, and emotions. Why does it come? Because they're choosing not to go forward. In some way, they're saying no to the Lord. Now, are they aware that they're saying no? I swear to God, he's my witness. I know some that have done that over and over, and I said to the Lord, why can't they see? And he reminds me of Romans chapter 9. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? Come on. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart?
He did.
For his own purpose. You've got stubborn people around you that are caught in deception, and God knows it and he allows it. For his own glory and for the revelation that he's planning to give them later. I caught an angel just right there. Did you see me turn my head? I saw it. Why?
Why did you see it?
No. Oh. Not the why. Why did he show up? But, you know, he's here to do whatever. Okay?
But I can tell you truthfully, this word is important, and I would suggest that you go over this chapter 2 until it starts to really make some sense into you. And some, let's say, inroads into your soul. Verse 13. And you who were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions. Having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note or bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us, this note with its regulation, decrees, and demands, he set it aside and cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to his cross. God disarmed the principalities and powers, raged against us, and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him. And in it, the cross. Therefore, let no one sit in judgment on you in matters of food or drink, or with regards to feast days and new moons and Sabbaths. I remember one time reading this and I said, God, why are you asking us as a church to honor your feast? He says, I never made it a legal thing. I gave you the option to obey or not to obey, but to honor my feasts. Honor the Sabbath. Honor it every single day as unto the Lord. They're all important. My prayer is that this word will literally start making some sense and start to break down the old patterns of self-deception that have been in all of us. So if you'll go over with verse 10 again, and you are in him, made full, and have come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. That includes the demonic realm as well as the angelic realm that we honor. Now, does that give you a new title as you look at yourself?
Adam was made in the image and likeness of his Father, who is God. Jesus came to restore what Adam failed in. So that makes you and I a child of God. And then we grow up, hopefully. And we mature. And it's a process. So I don't want you to give up on that word. It's just something that he's working on, and he is going to get his way. You know why? Because he's empowering you by his grace. Close your eyes. Say, he's empowering me.
He's empowering me.
By his grace.
By his grace.
Unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor.
It's mine in Christ.
It's mine in Christ.
Hallelujah.